Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we explore the Old Testament book of Malachi and learn about the dangers of questioning God. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation in the book of Malachi, right in the middle of Malachi chapter 3. Just a small book in the Old Testament, last book of the Old Testament, four chapters long. We're in a section right now that is, I think, somewhat familiar, John, wouldn't you say?
I would say it is very much so.
Probably because pastors like this section, but there's a lot here, and it's much deeper than, I think you'll see what I mean here in a moment. Look at verse 7, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, so here's the question, questioning God. Here's what the people were saying. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Well, you know, how are we supposed to come back to God? You say, God says, you're far from me. Come back to me. I'm the God that changes not. Remember, we talked about that last episode. So God answers their question with a question. They said, how are we supposed to return to God? And God says, okay, here it is. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? What are you talking about, God? We've robbed you. And God says, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. So one of the classic passages in the Bible, John, about tithing and giving, and yet the context is a context we don't often consider, because the context is the context of people that were far from God. And God told them, hey, you're far from me. You're not, and this has been generational. Your dads, your fathers were far from me. You're far from me. You need to get back to me. Remember, I'm the unchanging God. So if you're going to be close to me, you're going to have to do the moving, not me. So come back to me. And they said, well, how? How are we supposed to come back to God? And God says, okay, come back to me in the area of the tithe and offering. So how is that a matter of coming back to God?
You know, the Old Testament, God had given them very, very straightforward guidelines about how they were to tithe, what they were to give. And actually, there was more than just one tithe. People often think the Jew just gave 10% a year. They actually would have given more than that, the different tithes. Every third year, they would have had a tithe for the poor. And so there were, God had given them very explicit instructions about how they were to worship him. And again, as we've talked about before already, this was not they did this to somehow earn favor with God. No, they did this because they were God's covenant people. God had blessed them and they loved God. And because they love God and fear God, therefore they would give gladly. Well, along the way, that didn't happen. You know, people did not fear God. They didn't love God, right? And without doubt, when it comes to our pocketbook, our material possessions, you can tell what a person really cares about in life by looking at what they give to. And these people had not really cared about God, really. And because that was so, they had not followed what God had said in the area of tithes and offerings.
And think about this, okay? For them, their tithe and offering, to us, it might be writing a check or, you know, clicking a button for a credit card or throwing some cash in an offering plate. But for them, it was much more organic in the sense that a tithe and an offering, hey, I'm carrying in this lamb from my flock. I'm carrying in this bushel from my field. And God was the one that had given them that rain. God was the one that had blessed their crops. the essence here is it all belongs to God. The principle of giving is the principle of stewardship, that it all belongs to the Lord. And the Lord says, okay, 10% of it is mine. I want you to acknowledge that by bringing it. Acknowledge it. Now, the purpose for that was you're caring for the priest and the Levites. That was the purpose of it. You're offering it to me, but you're supplying the needs of other people because they're the ones that are teaching the Word of God. They're the ones that are helping you to understand the law and the worship and the offerings and all of that. So you are acknowledging my system, my economy. You're acknowledging that. And then the other 90%, that didn't belong to you either. That belongs to me. But I'm going to let you have direct oversight over the 90, and I'm going to let the Levites have oversight over the 10. But it all belongs to me.
Exactly right. And it's so often where people are skewed in their perspective of that philosophical, basic understanding. That's why people often go awry, because they don't look at what they have as simply all belongs to God. They're simply stewarding it. And God had given, as you mentioned, Pastor, very great details and instructions about how to care for the Levites. But the people of God, the congregation of Israel, often did not follow God because they didn't have the fundamental basic mentality that all I have is God's, and I praise Him for allowing me to steward this.
And God had promised a blessing upon those that would honor Him first. And God had already told them, I'm not going to bless you if you don't put me first. And so He said, listen, you're living under a curse. Not because I'm doing something bad to you, it's because you have not entered into the promise that I've given you. You're robbing me, but you're hurting you, is really what He's saying.
And it always does in our life. Whenever we don't have the right attitude toward God, and we don't, if we're not a cheerful giver to apply to our lives today, it always does have repercussions in our life. And it evidences the kind of heart that we actually have toward God when we are not willing to give back to God that which He already owes.
Some of you listeners, I know, are probably having a little mental spar right now saying, well, I just don't believe in tithing anyway, so this podcast really doesn't mean anything to me today. Let me just encourage you to take a step back from that. First of all, I do believe that the tithe is for today. I think the tithing principle was taught pre-law. If you see that with Abraham and Melchizedek, it's referred to again there in Hebrews chapter 7. I think obviously tithing was the law, and I think tithing was post-law. I think that the Lord referred to the tithe of the Pharisees that were tithing on the mint and cumin. These ought you to have done, He said, and not to have left the other undone. But I'm not even going to make that argument today. If you're into grace giving, hey, have at it. All I would say is this, that grace always takes the law and expands it. So if the law said don't commit adultery, this era of grace says, well, yeah, then don't even lust. Don't even do that which is the root cause of it. And I would say that grace giving is a matter of understanding the same principles. It all belongs to God. God expects for us to honor Him with our resources. And it's very clear that He wants us to do that proportionately, 1 Corinthians 16. And so I would just say, what is your baseline for proportion? I think 10% is a good baseline, but I think it's a basic baseline. I think as you grow in grace, a lot of times you go well above and beyond that.
Exactly right, Pastor. And it is that it is that basic understanding. And today, so often people write books and argue all about the idea of giving money, how much should we give? But the principle of Scripture is true, that we do need to give to God, and that it does display our heart's attitude toward God by the way that we do give. And, and we find it is more blessed to give than to receive. That is the Lord's perspective. Now, that's not human nature's perspective often. Often human nature says, the more I can get, the better I am. But no, God is a giving God. Sometimes I encourage you, take a concordance out and look up the word give and find how often it is applied directly to God giving. You'll find it many, many times in Scripture. Well, God wants us to be generous giving people so that we can evidence that we are His children by our giving hearts.
For God so loved the world that he gave. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so love gives, love gets. In each one of those situations, it's God doing the giving. I like what Paul said as a capturing thought, encapsulating thought to the Ephesian elders. He said, I've showed you all things. And then he said how that Christ said, it's more blessed to give than receive. So he said, let me just encapsulate 3 years of gospel ministry. You know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So this principle is throughout the Bible, but I like how Malachi, God through Malachi, breaks down the blessing. First of all, hey, you know, if you're having a lack of faith about this, just test me out. Just test me. See if I won't just open the windows of heaven and show you a blessing. So I would say, if you're stingy, if you're not a regular giver to the Lord, hey, just try it out. Just see what God does. See how God smiles on that. And then one of the ways that God blesses when we're givers, the Bible says, is he rebukes the devourer. In other words, he's going to make what you do with what you have left much more effective, much more productive. So in an agrarian society, if they're giving 10% of their produce to the Lord, God says, okay, now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless what you're growing so that the 90% is more than what the 100% would have been. And that's a Bible principle. And then thirdly, the Bible says, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land. In other words, when Christians understand the concept of giving, when churches understand the concept of giving and sacrificing and loving, and then even people outside of that Christian home or outside of that church look and say, that's amazing how God blesses. It's amazing what God's doing there. You become a testimony for your giving nature.
It's interesting, Pastor, in the world today even, how you often hear people talk about paying it forward. People, you see commercials sometimes about people doing good deeds just because they want to do good deeds. Because the world does realize the principle that is a biblical principle, that it is blessed to give, that it is blessed, a blessing to give to other people. Now, people in the world, when they do that, they're not doing it for the fundamentally right reasons of glorifying God. But it's interesting how often a day people talk about helping other people out from a worldly perspective. But how much more are we as Christians who know God, who know the Word of God, who read in Scripture what the principles are about giving, how much more ought we be willing to give because all God's done for us? And so when somebody says, you know, I don't need to be giving today because not in the New Testament era, they have a very bad understanding of what the Bible teaches about giving to God.
We could spend weeks on the topic, and many do. But the giving of the tithe was always to the place of God's designation. So we'd call it the storehouse. So here's what I would just say to you, my listeners. If you're not currently a tither, can I just challenge you with something? Why don't you begin, just prove the Lord. That's what the Bible says there, prove him. Why don't you take 3 months and say, for the next 3 months, I'm just going to tithe to my local church. I'm going to give 10% of my income. See how it works out for you. God told you, hey, prove me. See how the Lord blesses. I think you'll be surprised. But that's all the time we have for today. I appreciate you joining us day by day. Looking forward to yet another episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.